The biggest thrill on earth. That's how Austin Miles was billed. That's how he became known as North America's number one ringmaster. As such, Mr. Miles enjoyed all of the notoriety and the publicity that went along with his profession. But one evening, as he was about to open his show in Memphis, Tennessee, something unusual happened. You see, late that afternoon, as he checked into a local motel, he accidentally knocked a Bible off of the nightstand onto the floor. Now, Mr. Miles didn't bother to pick that Bible up. He simply left his luggage in the room, and he went off to a local restaurant for an early evening meal, came back, dressed for his performance, and headed off to the local Coliseum. But that night, as the curtain went up, there was a disturbance over in one corner of that large audience. It seemed that an elderly gentleman had suffered what perhaps might have been a heart attack. A nurse who was seated nearby rushed to his side and felt for a pulse, but didn't find anything. Word of what was happening was sent to Mr. Miles, and he said he did something that was very unusual for him, totally uncharacteristic. He said, I looked out over that large audience, and I said, those of you who are here tonight who believe in the power of prayer, would you pray for this man? And he said, in the quietness of the moments that followed, you could not only see people praying, but you could feel the presence of God. In a few moments, the old gentleman began to come around. And in time, seemed to completely recover. Now, Mr. Miles went on with his show. But that evening, when the show was over and the curtain came down and he returned to his motel room, as he opened the door and walked in, he saw that Bible lying on the floor. Now, Mr. Miles didn't bother to pick it up. He went over and he stooped down and he picked that one up. And he sat down on the edge of the bed and he opened it. And in James 5, he found these words. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Mr. Miles said, I read that verse again and again and again. Then he flipped back some passages, some pages in Matthew 18:20 seemed to jump out at him. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And suddenly, he said, it all began to make sense. That experience in his life led him to a systematic study of God's Word. And that study to a full commitment of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a pleasure for me to be here and to share about the work of the Gideon Ministry this morning. And, you know, I want to thank Kevin for giving me his time this morning. I also want to thank you, those of you who have supported us in the past. We cherish that support. Florence and I have been involved in this ministry for over 40 years. And it's been a journey that has been meaningful to both of us. As you heard read from Isaiah 55, God's Word does not return void, but it accomplishes what he wants it to accomplish. And so as Christian business and professional men, we believe that God's Word means what it says. And so we use this as the background for placing His Word in the traffic lanes of life around the world. And so, as Gideons, we're a missionary arm of our church. We are placing scriptures in some 200 countries in more than 90 languages. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 4, Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And so today I'd like to challenge you to help us with the harvest that's generated by the placement of God's Word. Most of you know the Gideons as those men who place Bibles in hotels and motels. But this morning I'd like to share with you that we're much more than that. You see, we're the ones who offer testaments to fifth graders and to college students. We're the ones who put Bibles on cruise ships, airplanes, and other modes of transportation. We're the ones who give testaments to our young men and women when they enlist into the military and again when they ship out overseas. We're the ones who visit jails and prisons and share Christ with the inmates. We're the ones who put testaments in hospital rooms. We're the ones who pray for your pastor and for you as a congregation at our regular Saturday morning prayer breakfasts. We're the ones whose auxiliary wives put Bibles in doctor's offices and give testaments to medical personnel. We're the ones who set up a booth at the local county fair and share Christ with any who show interest. We're the ones who offer testaments to police officers, rescue squads, personnel, EMT units, and to our firemen. If a person desires a copy of God's Word, we do everything we can to supply it. You know, the Word of God is a gift to each of us. But it's not a gift to be hoarded or kept to ourselves. It's a gift that we must give away again and again. Why? Because this copy of God's Word can go to places that you and I can't go. It can reach hearts that you and I could never touch. And it can comfort and change lives that are searching for a new meaning in life. Today's world is constantly changing. Yet, in Scripture, we find a stability that is found nowhere else. God's Word is still God's Word. It still speaks to the human heart through personal encounters. In May of 2015, Gideon's International placed the 2 billionth copy that they've placed since placement began in 1908. This was a milestone that was reached only because churches such as ours and others around us and individuals have supplied the funds to purchase and to ship those scriptures. It took us 93 years to place the first 1 billion copy, but less than 14 years to place the 2 billion. And yet, the need in our world is tremendous. India, for instance, is a country that's crying for copies of God's Word. And we don't have near enough to supply the request. In fact, as of March 31st, 2017, unfulfilled requests to Gideon's International was for 8.4 million copies of God's Word. Those requests came from 35 different countries. For every 3 hands that reach out to us for a copy of God's Word, we have less than 2 to give. Here at home, our Youth Testament program is an area that is currently under attack. Where once we had the liberty to go into our schools and our colleges and to offer testaments to the students, we find that now in most places we have to do it from the sidewalk off school property. And so today I'd like to encourage you to pray with us, to pray for us, that we might continue to find ways to present copies of God's Word to our nation's youth and college students. This morning, I could share with you how a prisoner took one of those little testaments that fell to the floor there and ripped it apart and took the pages to roll cigarettes, only to be stopped by the content of a single page and to have its message turn his life around. Or I could share with you how one of these hospital testaments found its way into the hands of a man over in Lynchburg, who, when he saw his wife wheeled off to surgery to correct severe hemorrhaging following the birth of their daughter, and to be told moments later that even the baby was fighting for its life, how he found the comfort that he needed. Or I could share with you this morning how a personal friend of mine, a retired airline captain from Clinton, North Carolina, began to read those Bibles that he found in his hotel room on his layovers because he wanted to prove to his daughter that this Jesus that she had accepted into her life was nothing more than a fake and a fraud, only to be convicted of his own sin and to come to know Christ in a personal way. Today, he's serving in the East Fayetteville, North Carolina Gideon camp. Inflation has taken its toll. The cost of purchasing scriptures has multiplied. Shipping costs have escalated. But I'm happy to share with you this morning that the cost of distribution has not changed. Because you see, we Gideons do that on our own time. Today, I also would like to draw your attention to our card program. In the vestibule, you'll find a couple of racks that have various cards in them. Cards entitled In Memory, Thinking of You, or In Recognition. This is a way that you can provide the scriptures for family, for friends. No, we're not in the business of selling cards, but we do provide those cards at no charge to you. You can write a personal note in the card and send it to the recipient. You can indicate on the insert the number of Bibles that you want to provide and send your check made payable to Gideon's International back to us. It's a great way to share Christ with family and with friends. A young father shared with us how his son stole their family car. He started cross country to visit a girl in California who he had met by way of the internet. When he needed fuel, he pulled into a convenience store and topped off the tank, then drove off without paying. The authorities were notified. They apprehended the boy and put him in a local jail. When his mother heard what had happened, she began to pray that God would send someone to share Christ with her son. A few days later, Gideon, on his regular visit to the jail, gave the boy a little testament and shared with him the helps that were in the front and in the back of the testament. A few days later, the boy met a violent death at the hands of another inmate. When his personal effects were sent home to his parents, his mother, she looked through those things, found that little testament. And as she leafed through it, she discovered that 2 days before his death, he had signed the decision page in the back. In what was otherwise a very dark moment in her life, God had given her a ray of hope. Today, I also want to share with you how a young teenage girl gave everything in life in an effort to share Christ with her fellow man. Listen, as one of our Gideons from the state of Arkansas shares the story of Bridget Millsap.
I was speaking in First Baptist Church, Gentry, Arkansas, August of 1998, great little church. And in that church service, I always end like I do in all church services by sharing how the people can help after I've shared the testimonies. I shared that we didn't want their tithes, their building fund money, or their missionary money, that I wanted their bowling money, their golfing money, their fishing money, and all their Walmart money. I also shared that there were business professional people in that church who could afford to buy a case of scriptures. Testaments at that time were $1.30, and I said, for $130, you can buy a case. And I want you to imagine, just imagine now, 100 beautiful children from all over the world walking in right now. I want you to see them in front of here. Just imagine them coming in. Here's 100 beautiful children from all different nations of the world, and for $130, you can give them their first copy of their New Testament, and they can read about Jesus for the first time. I challenge you to do that. If you can only give $1.30, that will buy one. Do whatever the Lord lays on your heart, and thank you for allowing us to come as Gideons. 2 weeks later, I was traveling down the road, and my wife called me on my phone in the car in the truck and said, the pastor from First Baptist Gentry is on the phone. And so I was a three-way. That's just high-tech stuff, first, and I'm not too good at it, but she could do a three-way. So I answered the phone. She's on the phone. He's on the phone. And he starts telling me about a little girl in Gentry, Arkansas, who her dad was a dairy farmer. They didn't have a whole lot of money. And that she'd just come by the church and had given him a letter and given him some money. And then he begins to cry. Well, just let me read the letter to you. And so here's the copy of the letter that I eventually got from him. But it just says, Dear Brother Bill, I'd like to thank you so much for letting Ari come speak at our church. I really enjoyed the stories you told, and they really touched me. I have been saving money all summer long by babysitting with plans of buying a pair of Doc Martin shoes. After hearing Arnie, I've enclosed the money that I've saved to purchase a case of scriptures. Hope these Bible touches someone else's life. And it's signed, sincerely, Bridget Millsap. And she had $130 attached to that letter. Well, I called up there and got a picture of little Bridget because I wanted a reminder of her sacrificial gift. She worked all summer and was willing to give her money to buy a case of scriptures. The reason is because she got in the shoes of those little boys and girls that I talked about that morning, and she wanted to reach them for Christ. So she gave her $130. Well, I've used this letter many, many times over the last several years, and it's unbelievable the amount of offerings that come in because people don't give the $5 or the $10. Erskine, they write out those checks for $130. And so the offerings have been unbelievable. And I had the opportunity to share this with her mother, how much money was coming in. Then 4 years later, I was going out of my house to speak at Pickle Scat Baptist Church, which is in Conway, Arkansas. And the phone rang. It was on March the 15th, 2002. As I stopped to pick up the phone, it was a Gideon from Gentry, Arkansas, and from First Baptist Church. He said, Arnie, I want you to know we need prayer for our church. He said, our church went on a ski trip yesterday. Two vans left. They got out there on Interstate 70, and the driver in the front van went to sleep and went off interstate, flipped the van, and killed his 35-year-old wife. He said the van behind was loaded with the teenagers. They saw what had happened. And there was a young girl in there trained as a lifeguard, and she couldn't wait to get out of that van to see if she could administer any help. So when the van stopped, she jumped out. She ran across the interstate and ran right in front of another car, and it killed her. He said, it was Bridget. And I said, I'm so sorry. I can't believe it was our little Bridget. asked if there's anything I can do to call them. A couple days later, they called and said, they want you to come to the funeral and share a story. So I went to the funeral, and the church was packed. Never forget the six coaches and high school teachers were the pallbearers, and they cried all the way through. And there was a little Bridget in the coffin in front of me, and I got up and shared her little sacrificial gift. And I said, I had no idea how much money this letter has raised in the last 4 years for Scriptures. But I know thousands of little boys and girls have received copies of God's Word because of her sacrificial gift. But I said, now that this tragedy has happened, I said, I believe her story will be told just like the lady who anointed Jesus' feet. I think her story will be told all over the world. And as soon as I finished sharing, the pastor got up, and this was the most unique thing he said the whole day was, he said, you know, when Bridget jumped out of that van to go administer help, the last thing she tried to do was save a life. And she had no idea she was going to run right into the arms of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that's made it so much better to realize that that's what happened to her. And even though she's such an outstanding young Christian lady, and you wonder why God would take such a vessel like that. But because of this ministry and what she did, look at the outreach of what happened as a result of that tragedy, of the millions and millions of Scriptures that are being bought. Because I'm not kidding you, when I go to church and share this, it's not one check for $130. It's most of the checks are $130. Yep. And through Gideon's International, we've shared this letter. I've shared it at an international convention. Now I'm sharing it on this video. Her story will be told all over the world. Mm-hmm. And no telling how much money will be raised because of one little sacrificial gift that Bridget gave. But I looked at her parents, and I'll never forget the look on their faces as they sit there. I said, because of the tie with Gideon's International, and because of that one sacrificial gift that little Bridget gave, when we get to heaven, we may find out that Bridget might have been one of the greatest little missionaries who ever lived.
Amen.
What a story, and what a blessing it is to be a Gideon and to be a part of these people's lives. God bless you.
God doesn't demand from many of us the ultimate sacrifice that was made by little Bridget. But He does ask us to be faithful. Faithful to the call that He has placed on each of us. And to live our lives and to share Christ with those that we have opportunity to and come in contact with. Our world is in a need of a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today as you leave, you'll have the opportunity to share financially with this ministry. There's a basket out on the table in the vestibule to receive your gifts. The gifts you give are used 100% to purchase and to ship these scriptures. The cost of running the organization is paid for through dues paid by the membership. Perhaps I can challenge you to invest in that $130 that you just heard about. It's an investment that will pay huge dividends because only God knows the value of a single soul. And if you're not prepared today to give and you want to send your contribution in at a later date, there's an envelope attached to the bulletin insert that you received this morning. You can drop your check in that envelope made payable to Gideon's International and send it to us. Somewhere indicate that you're a member here at Stanton Mennonite so that we can get credit for your contribution. Remember, three hands reaching out for two copies of God's Word. Can you help us supply that third copy this morning? Think about it. Thank you, and may God's richest blessing be yours.